Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we just love talking about on Yale Probs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who's here with me? His name is Ben. Ben, come on out, Ben. Ben, come out.
Hi.
There he is.
Here I am.
Hi, Ben.
Just here on the feed, just hanging out with you, Ronnie.
Sure are. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show today. This is a Crappens On Demand episode, so come find us over here on the internet, on Patreon. Go to Crappens On Demand level for that. Also, we moved Below Deck Sailing to bonus this week. Okay, we wanted to be fair to Real Housewives of Atlanta listeners. So who knows how it's going to end up. Okay, just join Patreon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Also, we're doing our live show. And to celebrate the Real Housewives of New York premiere, which we are covering on May 6th here on El Intraneto, you can get tickets at on location live /watchitcrappens, or just find that link over on our website, watchitcrappens.com. Okay, so to celebrate that, we're doing a 10-part countdown of the most underrated housewives ever. We have different picks, so every day you can go vote for who, you know, choose who's the winner between me and Ben over on Instagram. It'll be in our Instagram story, so go vote every day. Your vote counts. Okay.
Yeah, it does. So yesterday we revealed our number 10 position. So for me, my number 10 most underrated housewife or Roni player, Cindy Barshop, number 10, which means that there's more people who are more underrated than she is. and Ronnie chose Alex McCord, which I think is an excellent choice. So now we're moving on to
my number nine. Okay, my number nine was Cindy Barshop. Because, listen, you know, we just had like we put her at the bottom, everybody. Don't freak out.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys really still hate Cindy Barshop, I have to say.
Really?
I'm shocked. You know, where is forgiveness? Where is the forgiveness, guys?
What did she do wrong?
What did she even do? I mean, you guys like really hate her ass.
She survived Morocco, one of the most vicious trips in the history of Roni. She survived it. Yeah. But people thought that we were suggesting that Cindy was more underrated than Alex. But actually, it's actually the inverse, that she's actually less underrated. It doesn't matter. The point is this. She was my 10. She's your 9. She's at the bottom of the pile, basically, for us, right?
Right. So, you know, I chose Cindy Barshop. And then the more I thought about it, now I'm even standing by it even more. I mean, she is towards the bottom of my list, so let's not act like I'm super rah-rah-rahing her. But yeah. I do miss Cindy's just – she doesn't give a fuck about anything and thinks everything's crazy. I think especially right now in life, that is the attitude we should all have. We should all calm down a little bit and realize it's all stupid and we're going to be dead soon. Okay.
And so, she had a thankless job.
Yeah. And you know what? The woman really took a fupa and tried to make something decent out of it. And as someone who is tortured by my own fupa, you know what? Someone doing a little fupa makeover has my vote to at least be on a damn list over Alex McCord.
So. Over Alex McCord. Okay. Yes. Well, my number nine is actually not, she's not a full-fledged Real Housewife. It's going to be another hot take from me. I think the number nine most underrated Real Housewives of New York player is Elise Slane, who managed to do nothing and yet everything for all of last season.
Isn't her name Slane or is it Slane?
Slane or Slane?
We don't even know.
But Elise just vacantly floated through that season, and she did so little, like less than almost any friend of we've ever seen. And yet it was in her vacancy, the vacancy in her eyes and her presence, that I found so much comedy. I thought she was the funniest thing ever. The fact that she thought she was like lighting the show on fire with like, so my name is Elise, but I have an alter ego called Erica.
And this is Erica. What is it with people named Erica who don't know how to nail an alter ego on Bravo? Because the other Erica the same damn way. It's like, I'm Erica Jane and I'm Erica Girardi. It's like, you're both the same, stupid.
The same. Okay.
You both say you were on the same pole. Let's not pretend.
So I know there could be a lot of people who'll be like, Elise was lame. She was stupid. Why? Like, yes. The answer is yes, correct. You got it exactly right. But for me, she was hilarious in her Elise-ness. And she provided for me a strain of entertainment that I wasn't expecting last season. So Elise is my number nine.
Okay, everybody. So to vote between those two options to solidify the number 9 spot, go over to Instagram. We're at Watch What Crappens, okay? And find out the results on our Real Housewives of New York live show on Location Live. You know where to get tickets because we already told you, okay? I'm not going to shove that down your face again. Okay, so welcome to the Real Housewives of Dallas season finale recap. You know, this season has really polarized a lot of people. And by polarized, I mean some of y'all sleeping, some of y'all just still eating on the couch. No one's really thrilled about it. But no one's furious about it, which I think is a bad sign for a housewife show. Now, I laughed because I got my Dillard's lovers, Mama D and Deandra, fighting over who left a will on the bed and, you know, calling your 80-year-old mom a stupid bitch. And fuck you. Like, take me back to my teenage years. So there was a lot in it for me to love this year. And this whole stealing from your step family and then pretending that all you really want to do is go to lunch all these years later. I mean, I was enthralled. What can I say?
I liked it. I liked the early season fights about the chicken feet. You know, Cameron not eating a chicken foot. And like, I enjoyed Tiffany's clunky attempts at, you know, winning over the girls by putting crickets in their pizza and then Brandy overreacting. I actually thought it was a really good season. And, you know, again, we have to also remember this was a season that was shot during COVID. And I think it's hard to create some narrative fabric in that. But I know a lot of people thought this season was boring. But like you, Ronnie, I laughed through a good chunk of it. And I really looked forward to watching the episodes. There was like one or two dull ones. As they kind of tried to stretch the season out, which
like
happened,
this one, like this season finale.
No, well, yes and no. I found myself getting enraged, and so if I'm ever getting enraged, then it means it's a good episode. Like I was seeing.
Oh yeah, you got enraged because she was misbehaving, Carrie.
I was enraged that the cultural institution known as South Fork was defiled by Carrie.
The cultural institution last week you were saying it was ugly as hell.
Well, you know what?
Cultural
institutions
can
be ugly too, okay? They can be ugly as well. You know? This is a landmark, as we learned. A landmark in Texas, and it needed to be respected.
Okay. I'll be with that. I thought it was really rude too. I wasn't really enraged. I was mostly just like, this is it. I need more. And okay, well, we'll get to it, guys.
But you know, it's a Ben thing, right? Like, you know, like when you saw this, weren't you thinking to yourself, I need more, but I know that Ben is like furious right now.
Yeah. You're a big manners person, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't mind the plexiglass. Yes. I minded. I obviously it was tacky as hell. I just don't like, it's not that I mind a rude person. I just would prefer more fun with my rude. Like, just like farting with your armpits isn't funny enough for me. Like, there has to be some wit to your rudeness, you know? Like, I love a rebel, but I don't just like some jackass parking in two spots just because they fucking can. And you know she does that.
Well, I think what's annoying with Carrie is that she reminds me of those people that go on to American Idol and say, I'm rock and roll because I have long hair. And then they just sing show tunes, Constantine Morales, right? Like, that's what drives me nuts. Or like Adam Lambert.
Yeah. Or one thing when you get older, too, is like all those friends who are like, oh, yeah, hang out with me. I'll do fucking anything. Like, they're dead now. Okay. They're dead or they're just like complete. Basically, they were alcoholics. Like you learn at some point, like it's cute, but then, you know, you have to go to some meetings or whatever. So it's like less cute, I guess, when you're 50.
Yeah. Well, it's not cute at honestly any age because Carrie, you know, Carrie is the sort of person that you go to Cabo Cantina on Sunset Boulevard and you're just trying to enjoy that 2-for-1 happy hour that goes for 4 hours with your friends. And the next thing you know, she's up standing on, like she's dancing on top of a table to Journey, thinking it's the most original thing in the world to be belting out Don't Stop Believin'. And she's getting the lyrics wrong and she knocks over your drinks. And when you say, excuse me, she goes, oh, who cares? It's fun. Like, lighten up. It's like, no, you knocked over my drink while singing very unoriginal karaoke that no one, during a non-karaoke experience, Carrie, you know she's that person. And she always has
a terrible karaoke person at Cabo Cantina. I really, I have to say, I think you nailed this one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I mean, you get it right often, but this one is like nailed. Nailed down.
It was too real. It was too real, which is why I have had such a visceral reaction because I've been around her. I've seen her. you know?
I mean, girl, I've been her. You know, I've been her. I was her. And I've also, you know, I've also been, you know, gotten over it and then been her again. I see all sides of it. I just think, you know, it boils down to Carrie's just a fucking asshole. Okay? That's I'm going to boil it down to just that. But we'll have plenty of time to get on with that. Let's get started, okay? Brandy has just thrown herself down the stairs. Listen, that's all I needed from this season. I mean, you want to talk about closure? I've been waiting for this for years.
Brandy, next time you release a problematic video, you don't have to go into counseling. Just throw yourself down
throw yourself down the stairs.
You showed us that you can do it and survive and be okay. Like, that was actually a surprisingly, like Stephanie said, that was a surprisingly strong, like, self-toss down the stairs, especially for someone who's pregnant.
Yeah, we find out she's pregnant. And, you know, it was basically like watching my pre-birth on TV, because my mom is a ginger, okay? My mom was a little cray. I don't doubt that my mom went down some stairs a couple of times. My mom was my mom drank pretty heavily and brags about it. You know, she's like, we could do that back then. You know, so she was totally proud of that. The only thing missing really is a pack of Benson and Hedges menthols. That's really all that's missing.
I mean, wow. The things that Brandy, people are saying online, like, no, she knew she was pregnant. I don't think she knew she was pregnant. You know, she threw herself down some stairs. She's been drinking pretty hard. This is a wild time to be pregnant, to be on Real Housewives of Dallas. That's for sure. Also, Ronnie, have we ever really bonded over the fact that both of our moms are gingers?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure.
you were born with the what we call in the wild a calm ginger. Okay, we have very different. I have the fiery redhead ginger mom. Yeah, you have like the look at me. I'm just like an Irish fairy waif ginger,
but Jewish with Eastern European roots instead. Yeah. Okay, so Brandy has thrown herself down a staircase, and that's
another great pregnant moment for Brandy. You know, I hope they put this together for the kids' graduation. Like, let's watch the months before you were born. Okay, there's your mom doing a keg stand. There she is throwing herself down some stairs. Would you like to eat some tuna fish while we're here, ma'am?
I know. She's like, where's the sushi? So Cameron, her character is a doctor. So she runs up and she goes, I diagnose her as dead. And then we see like a slow-mo of Brandy falling down those stairs, which, again, very impressive.
Yeah. And Stephanie's like, that fall? Huh? It's really impressive. Like, I mean, she really knows how to do that as a Dallas cheerleader. Huh? The tuck and roll.
Is that a thing that happens at Cowboys games? Just cheerleaders just rolling down the stairs at the stadium? Like, and now it's halftime, so clear the aisles. Here come the cheerleaders. Like, brrr, just rolling down onto that star in the center of the field. Who will survive?
And Brandy's like, wow, I feel like I really have the easy part. I mean, there's a lot going on. There's so many guilty people, but I'm just going to lay here. I have rock burn. I'm hurting in my neck, but I'm committed.
I also have a strange sickness in the morning. I don't know what that's about. And a little bit of cramps. I didn't know that comes with playing dead.
Yeah.
So Cameron's first of all, let's applaud this cast for being the first cast to actually take a murder mystery seriously. You know, like New York did a pretty good job until Dorinda just canceled the whole thing.
Atlanta, you know, well, I did it. All right, I did it. I was jealous of his money. Can we eat? Can we eat now? I was like, you planned this murder mystery, Dorinda.
We watched like 30 minutes of everyone getting into character, learning about their characters. And they're like, okay, and now the mystery. Oh, he did it. Right, is he? I was like, what? But no, this one, they like committed, they investigated, they broke out into teams, they looked up things, they looked at clues, they were involved.
And Cameron's walking around going, oh my God, I have prescriptions. You know what I think you need? A Qualalude. They're like, oh God, Cameron. And then Deandra's like, who prescribed the Qualaludes? Deandra's that girl who's just like way too into it.
Yeah, and then Carrie, she was really into it, by the way. And so then Carrie goes up to Brandy, who's dead, and she's like, Brandy, who killed you? Be a host. Tell me who killed you.
Brandy's like, I can't tell you because I'm dead. And she's like, ah, the dead is speaking to me. And Brandy, of course, it's can't make a season without it. Brandy goes, I have to fart.
And she does it like right as the murder mystery guy walks in, and he's like, well, that's just something the body does from now and then. So there's more clue finding.
Dead bodies do. The gases leave. And Carrie just like kind of gives him a look like, why are you talking to me? Carrie is rude to every single employee. There has not been one employee that Carrie's like, hi, thank you very much. Everything's great. And everyone, she's like, we know she has gases. Stupid. Stupid tiny pee-pee over here.
You think this is funny? Someone's dead. You think that's funny? Oh, big man with little pee-pee. That's what I say. It's like, Carrie, this isn't a real murder mystery. So Jen finds fingerprints. Jen makes an impact on the finale. She found fingerprints. And see, by the way, Jen is a good example of someone who does very little but doesn't have the impact of Elise, right? She's like barely there. But I think because she's trying to have an impact – in a way that Elise is just like, if Elise were at this murder mystery.
Oh, Elise tried. She did try. Jennifer's not really trying. She's just like trying to be nice to everybody. And she's just trying to be like that fun, non-offensive one for her first season. And, you know, like you could argue that she couldn't make an impression because she was edited out. And my argument to that would be she shouldn't be able to be edited out. Like if you're really doing a good job, they should be like, oh, we can't edit her out. All the argument started with Jen. This year, you know, Jen robbed the bank, you know, Jen fucked the pool boy and the gardener. Like, Jen did a lot of shit. Jen fucked Deandra's stepbrother. Okay. Yeah. Jen put the will on Deandra's bed. You know, Jen like, I need more.
Did
you
all
know, there's
that.
Something. Yeah.
Well, she did start the fight with Mama D, actually, or Brandy, that whole thing. She asked, like, some question that caused all that. Either way, so they're just like looking at clues, and Tiffany is saying how she's like a natural investigator because since she's a doctor and this is kind of like what she does, and she's going through all the suspects, and she's like, well, I don't think it can be Carrie because she's like not drunk enough yet, and I don't think it's Stephanie or Cameron because it would require too much planning for them, and you know, I think it's probably just Deandra because she's the most in character and her mother probably has killed like 6 people already, so I think it probably runs in the family.
And then whoever's running this party, she started talking like this. She's like, hey, I'm the copper here, right? Here's what we're going to do for this murder mystery. And now she's like, all right, everybody. Now we shall find out who the murder mystery is. Ends with, who is the killer?
She should just do recaps of Below Deck for us, because that's basically what happens with all our accents. We're like, hello, I'm on Below Deck and I have an Australian accent. And then by the end, we're like, me, I talk like this for some reason. By the end of the hour.
Yeah. You don't want to be as good as we are. That's not a compliment. Okay, lady.
So Deandra, when they're like all sitting talking about the suspect, then Deandra like grabs a gun, and then she has this fake gun, but it gets like a little real because she's like, okay, everyone sit down. Everyone down. Okay, I don't need. I was like, I feel like she's actually done this before. I think this is something that happened to her during one of her coke binges. Like she's robbed a bank, hasn't she?
There's a like, reason Sandra Bullock won't call them back anymore. You know? So she runs around just shooting everybody. She's like just killing all the employees and stuff. And Carrie's like, oh my God, there are dead people in the pool. I suppose it's my fault. Ah! And Stephanie is still just lying on the floor dead.
Yeah. And like literally Deandra's just going on a shooting spree. And Stephanie's just like crouched down. She goes, you're going to hell. which I really enjoyed. I like just like that. That judgy damnation.
Have fun with your mass murder. You're going to hell, buddy.
I know. So then they all wind up outside, and they're like, Deandra's still sort of in character. I don't even remember what she's saying, but she's standing by the pool, and she's by the pool, and Carrie's nearby, so guess what happens?
Hilarious. Oh my God, hilarious.
So she pushes Deandra right into the pool, and then Deandra's like, Carrie, really? My belt, my shoes? Mother friend, why would you do that to me?
But I needed to kill the murderer! So, knock, knock. It's later in the night now. And it's the producer cam because Carrie and Brandy are like wacky and drunk together in the middle of the night, waking everybody up. Okay, these two are the worst. Please fire these two people. Okay? They're terrible people. Just terrible. Even before they vandalized anything, this is all you get from me. You fucking knock on my door. Listen, I got mad at an Amber Alert last week that came too early in the day, and that girl was kidnapped. Okay? Don't fuck with me while I'm sleeping. You will die.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I was actively angry. I was angry. They were like keeping up Tiffany. I was like, this woman's a doctor who does not get a lot of sleep. Let her sleep, for crying out loud.
She's an anesthesiologist. I mean, she should have something in her bag. You know, what's the point of being an anesthesiologist if you don't have a couple of shots for yourself in there?
Well, I mean, it's like, isn't that just like such a great Sundance movie? The anesthesiologist who can't put everyone to sleep but herself. I'm an anesthesiologist with insomnia. See me at Sundance. Okay, I'll set up that viewing party for you. Love that.
All right, everyone's going to sit on womb chairs and a wing stop. All right, we're going to show that film.
It actually sounds a little bit more like an NBC procedural. It's like there was a procedural a few years ago about like a cardiologist, and the billboard for it was a woman holding up a heart. And I think the show was called Heartless or something. I was like, of course, NBC. You have a show about a cardiologist called Heartless. I was like, it's so NBC. So probably it would be like, if it's about an anesthesiologist who has insomnia, it's probably like Sleepless, I guess. I don't know. Sleep No More.
They're basically waking everybody up and trying to get them to have fun, but no one's amused, really. And they don't stop, you know, like they just jump on them in the bed, and Carrie's like humping Tiffany. And Stephanie's like, yeah, I mean, those drunkards basically came in and they were talking about how much Carrie's toots don't stink. I mean, that was good. I love farts. I love toots.
I love that. I love that. Can you say that thing again about the farts? It's so funny. Can you say it again?
Oh my God, she tooted. So good. She thinks her toots don't stink.
Oh my God, farts.
Thinks her toots.
I love you. Thank you for saying that. I love you.
I love you. I love you so much.
Thank you. I love you too. I love your farts. But I love you more. So much. You are your farts.
I wish I could make this fart into a ring so I could put it on you and show you how much I love you.
I wish my fart were a ring cam. I wish, like, when people ring the doorbell, it would just fart.
So then we end up in the JR murder room. Funnily enough, he was played by a man named Larry Hagman. Okay, so have fun with that, Carrie. Okay,
yeah,
but Hagman. JR predicted this years and years ago.
Yeah, so they're drunk and being crazy, so Brandy, there's like a plexiglass barrier around JR's room, which admittedly is funny because, again, this is not King Tut's tomb. This is like just a bedroom.
It's not like a cashier check express that we actually need plexiglass there. Okay. Well, but then again, we do, because you see why. It's people like this who ruin everything. It's people like this that this is the reason plexiglass even exists. It shouldn't even exist. We shouldn't need it.
We shouldn't need it. But like, even if it's not King Tut's tomb, someone decided to go to Ross and get some bedding and put it on a bed. And they did that. They took the time. And they said, we don't want people touching it. And we are just going to put up plexiglass to just really assert that. And so Brandy squeezes through the plexiglass to get to the shit, which is
another thing that's great for the baby, by the way. I mean, they show her it's like this wide, and Brandy is just squeezing it. It's just like squeezing on her stomach, and she's like pulling herself through. It's like, that poor kid. You know, we've seen kids on Bravo with the helmet. This kid is gonna need one. Okay.
Oh my God, it reminds me of that SNL skit from years ago with Victoria Jackson just doing terrible things to her. She's pregnant and she had her belly in the microwave and she's reaching for something and everything. It's basically happening in real life now.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So she sneaks in because she wants to sit on JR's bed. I guess allegedly because she wanted to sleep there that night. And then Carrie's like, I want to come in too. But Carrie can't get through the plexiglass. So she is going to try to climb over, which is just inherently a bad idea. Okay. Nothing good comes from climbing over plexiglass. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I know it's not the same thing, but it did remind me of the scene in Jurassic Park where that little kid was climbing up the wires.
Really affected you.
It's impacted me in so many ways.
God.
And I'm like,
that movie changed your fucking life. Wow.
Carrie, you are a child on live wires right now, and you should know better.
So she gets on this little rocking horse thing and climbs over.
Already. Who uses a rocking horse for stability?
Yeah.
It's literally in the name.
Yeah.
It's in the
I'm going to let that go because I know I'll be a hypocrite if I say anything.
Like, did you hang up a picture by standing on a rocking horse, Ronnie?
I'm just not very bright. I mean, the way I climb onto things is I'm like a big ape, you know? And like, I'll pull out a drawer to step on the drawer. Like, I pretend like I'm Donkey Kong in a video game. I have like my KitchenAid mixer thing in my apartment up on top of the water heater, and it's so heavy I can never get it. So I pulled out like a drawer to stand on the drawer, and I opened a cabinet so I could step on one of the cabinets, and I'm like wobbling up there, and the cabinet's breaking under my foot, but I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna keep going because I'm this far, which wasn't far at all, it was like a foot off the ground, and then get my leg up and on the counter right as the drawer breaks and all my utensils go flying everywhere, and I finally get up there, I'm standing on the counter, and I'm about to hold it, and I'm like, well, how the fuck am I gonna get down now? I just broke everything. There's shit all over my kitchen. There's knives, ladles, everything all over the floor. So yeah, I can't judge on this one.
What's going on with that drawer? Did you fix it?
It's gone, which is why you should buy cheap things. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna send you a step stool. It's a game changer. First, in that it's actually designed to do the thing.
I actually have a step stool. It's just far, and then you have to like unfold it, and then
if you just leave it there,
then it's in the way of the sink. You have to like fold it back up and take it.
And they're a little scary going up there. It feels like you're boarding an airplane that doesn't exist.
And I'm like above the weight limit for everything, you know, and I'm not being hateful to myself. I literally am. And so like the step stool's like 250 pounds. I'm like, ha, 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 I'll raise ya. And so everything I stand on is like wobbling. It's like I'm murdering the poor thing, you know. So really nothing's safe around me.
I like how you're concerned about like the weight capacity of the step stool, but like a drawer full of ladles and knives, you're like,
I own the step stool. That apartment is rented.
Okay. I thought it was
you know how my apartment in LA, you can see it in the background of our videos, it's like there's shit stacked to the ceiling because it's like a tiny little place, right? And the KitchenAid is all the way on the ceiling, you know, above the water heater. So to get to it, I have to like climb all this shit.
Yeah, that changes the context a little bit. That changes the context.
Here I have a brother-in-law, I don't need a step stool. I just say, hey, could you do that? You know what I've got for you? Some Vita tequila, if you'll get up there and do that.
Love that.
He actually did say that when he tried Vita tequila. He said, oh my God, I love that. And I was like, perfect. That's a perfect ad.
Yeah. Well,
point is none of that. That is none of that is the point.
The point is that Carrie got onto a rocking horse. And then she tried to climb over the plexiglass, which wasn't going to work because the plexiglass still was coming up to her boobs. So she would have had to like hurl herself up and over. So it wasn't going to work no matter what.
Right.
But she like held on to it, and then she kind of like fell backwards, and then she pulled the plexiglass with her and just collapsed into the, you know, JR's boudoir.
Yeah. And Brandy's like, should we go find some tape and maybe try and fix the plexiglass? So then the next morning, Cameron is calling Court, and she's like, oh my God, Court, I got to sleep in Lucy's room.
Yeah. he's like, I don't know who that is. And then Brandy is sitting making coffee in the kitchen, and she notices there's a security camera up there, and it's just sort of the guilt. It's like the telltale plexiglass. As she hears it, and she just knows that she's going to have to fess up. So she tells us, do you ever have one of those moments where you're like, this didn't really happen, but then it did happen? I'm like,
No, never. Why don't you tell us about one?
Are you going to tell us about your racist video, or is it about the plexiglass? Because apparently they're the same. So
no, the racist this got a bigger apology than the racist video.
I know. I really did. So Brandy is like, South Park is historic and it's a landmark. And it just means so much to the fans, and people are going to hate us because we fucked this up. And also you had a racist video.
Yeah. So then Tiffany and Cam are talking, and Tiffany's like, oh my God, can you believe that happened? Cameron's like, can you imagine what I dealt with downstairs with Curry? And Tiffany's like, listen, all I know is that I was in my first stage of REM sleep and those bitches came in and they disrupted it.
I've waited three seasons of my TV show to get to that REM sleep. It was the season finale and they woke me up. I could not believe it.
Cameron's like, yeah, they were banging on the door and Brandy ended up in JR's room, girl.
And so then Brandy's with them now, and she's telling them that, like, she's like, yeah, I squeezed through the sliding door and then Carrie pulled up a rocking horse and then like stood on it to jump over it. And so Stephanie's like, so the plexiglass, is it like broken? Does it need a locker room makeover?
Yeah. And Brandy's like, and then she pulled up a chair. And Carrie goes, no, you pulled up the chair. And Brandy goes, I was on the other side. And she's like, exactly. You were. And then we see Brandy putting the chair there. So, you know, Brandy's always the innocent one in these things.
Well,
so,
but then also they say, like, Brandy says, the plexiglass is broken. And Carrie goes, it's cracked. Cracked? What part of an entire piece of plexiglass? Like, you fell, you almost reenacted the finale of Ghost over there, okay? What are you talking about, cracked?
And Stephanie goes, you could go to jail. I mean, this is big.
Plexiglass jail. It was like, I was so conflicted because on the one hand, I was so angry at Carrie's disregard for the property and for a space that was important for someone else. And on the other hand, I was laughing that they were treating it truly like this was the inner sanctum of the Louvre. You know, it's like, this is not Lupin.
Lupin. Watch that. It was good. So Brandy is like, if ever I wanted to go back in time, I wish it was now. Really? Now? I mean, girl.
this is the thing that she wants to go back and think.
I've got five seasons of you, and this is the part you're choosing to do.
Let's go back to right before the poop hat. That's where we should set the time machine.
Okay, so Cameron's like, meanwhile, there's a place to sleep right there. And it was the Chase Lounge. And Carrie's like, oh, okay, you know what? We should go downstairs and call the stupid lady who does work things and say, you know what? Listen, stupid lady, you have tiny pee-pee. Let's see how it works. Come on.
So now Deandra and Cameron are talking. And Cameron's like, I could not believe she pushed you in the pool. And Deandra says, well, thank God I wasn't wearing an expensive dress because mother didn't give me enough money to buy one. But those shoes were vintage Louis Vuitton. And the belt, well, that was when Oscar was alive. Oscar the Grouch, you know, great Muppet. And you know what? I only have two of them, okay? Green furry belts. I only have two of them. And I'm never going to get another one, okay? That was $3,000 of stuff, mother.
They were in JR's room. It's like, did you break something? And it's like, oh, well, here we are. Carrie has named another place. Okay, great. Another place we visited. This time is a historical landmark. And in the future, we're going to be eyesight of going anywhere because that person acts like a goddamn idiot every time we go in somewhere.
Now I'm not even sure if we're going to be invited to the Morgan Fairchild Museum.
What are we supposed to do for Falcon Crest next season?
Knots Landing, more like Knots Landing, but without the K, because it's a negative, because we're not invited anymore.
Guess what? You're Knots Landing, because you can't balance on a goddamn horsey horse. Okay?
More like Twin Peaked, as in we already peaked, and we're not allowed to go, and ask out who killed Laura Palmer.
Deandra, this whole episode, has that slightly, like, her eyes are, like, a little, you know how Deandra has that, like, slightly closed eye,
face.
Like her eye kind of closes, and then her eyes are really bright, and then she's putting on eyeliner under her eye. She just looks evil, and she's yelling everything, even in the diary room. She's like, well, let me tell you what Carrie did. Okay, calm down. It's just you in a room. Okay.
Well, that's why it was so funny seeing her with that gun during the murder mystery, because it occurred to me that, like, almost everything Deandra says is like the unhinged confessions of the murderer on Murder, She Wrote. right? Because it's always like, you know, when they always corner the murder, they always pull out a gun. They're like, I'll tell you why I did this.
Yeah.
I did this because everywhere we go, she destroys something. Every single place. We're going to get ass out of every single landmark in the state of Texas. So I had to kill her. I had to.
It really is that. It's like, and then we found a tiny key.
Oh, well, fine. I'll tell you what. You found that key because it was a goddamn trunk key from our trunk show. And that bitch, I'm so sick of it. Every time we get into the car, nothing about me. Then we get in there, all she does is bitch and nag me about how much makeup I'm leaving on the bathroom counter. Well, I am done with it. Done with it.
It's like, whoa.
Fine, I did it. I killed her, and I'll tell you why. She poured salsa on the sheets. Do you know those are someone she said is a home, okay? So I may be a killer, but at least I respect someone's home. Take me away.
So downstairs, Brandy is calling Jana, who is the head of this party event place, the South Fork Ranch. So she's like, hi, Jana. I was like, here we go. Here's Brandy. Brandy did something wrong. Cue up the fake tears. And she even uses it with a lady that she's renting an event space from.
I know. I wasn't sure if she was going to go. For a moment, I thought she was going to go the path of like super sweet little girl humility with like giggles, like nervous giggles. Like, I'm so sorry, but isn't this funny? I was like, she surely is not going to do full on, you know, baby tears on this one. But I really underestimated her. She did it.
Jana has Texas lady attitude and you don't mess with her. Like, you can just tell with Jana how she talks, right? Because she's like, hi, Jana. Good morning. Hi. She's like, hey, Brandy, how are you? Like, which is basically Jana's way of saying, I already know what you did, bitch. So are you going to try and blame a maid? Because I'm on to you, okay? I've been watching you bitches from my camera, from my televisions in my house, okay?
You ever hear of a Google Nest, you idiots? You saw the camera. I saw you look at it while you're making your coffee.
Why do you think there was a ring? Why do you think there was a ring in the bookshelves in your room, Brandy? I know there's no ding donging in your bedroom. I was watching you, bitch.
Listen, Brandy, I just want you guys to have fun, and I already invoiced the production company for twice the value of that plexiglass. So don't you worry, we made a profit off of your idiots.
But she really does have that terrifying voice.
How are you?
Oh my god. So Brandy's like, well, I've been better. I'm calling because you're going to be very disappointed in me, Jana. I squeezed into JR's room.
Didn't mess it up. You did.
Yeah. Well, we cracked the plexiglass, but we're going to replace it. Just like Eduardo says he's going to replace me someday. Yeah, I went there. Why not? I'll say it.
And Brandy's like, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. Notice there are zero tears. Okay. Brandy has been crying now for a solid 3 minutes and there is no tears. So Jana's just like, ladies, I just wanted you to have fun. So don't you worry about a thing. Sounds like you're having fun.
You are so sweet. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, Jana, so much. Don't you worry about it. South Fork should be called South Fun, okay? Don't you worry. Hey, Amelia, did you write up that invoice for Bravo TV? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you know that Jana was like, y'all are more upset about it than I am, honey. Okay, y'all have a good one. That Cup Fitness, get her the fuck out of there immediately.
Bet, get your shotgun and go down there right now and make sure nothing goes wrong for the rest of the day. Go get him, Bet. Remember Bet? With that hair. I loved Bet. So Brandy's like, oh my God, I just wanted her to be more mad at me. She was so sweet. So Carrie is, Carrie's like, everyone's acting like me and Brandy fucked up an old president's tomb or something. And this is like made up scene from a soap opera, which she does have. She does have a little bit of a point there. She does. But the point is this, regardless of its origins, it's still a museum and it's still something that someone made and curated and spent money on. So I don't care.
Well, listen, I think the outdoors are stupid. I don't believe in the outdoors. I think it's a dumb idea. I don't appreciate it. I really hate parks, but I'm not just going to go set one on fire. Other people find them, you know, an important part of their daily life. Who am I to say, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just do some passive aggressive shit, like take my animal there to shit all over it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. That's what you do. That's what she should have had an animal shit on JR's bed.
Yes. So Randy's like, oh my God, we vandalized a historical place. And Carrie's like, you know, that's me. I'm the friend. You get in trouble, I get in trouble. I'll help you bury the body.
That's not a good quality, by the way. You don't want to be that friend. All my toys are broken from my youth because of you, Carrie. All of my toys.
Also, that's not really what happened. You got in trouble. And then she got in trouble. Okay. You're going to help. You know, it's like she's going to expect thanks for helping you bury the body that she murdered. You know,
she's the one in the bank heist that like the whole plan is like going to be perfect. Everyone's like ready to do it. But they need basically like Newman. As long as we're talking about Jurassic Park, they need Newman to like do the getaway car. So here comes Carrie and she just fucks up the entire heist. You're like, and you know, when you're watching the movie, you know, she's going to fuck it up. You know, like they would have gotten away with it. Everything would have been fine. But then she goes and, you know, drives to the police. Oh, you said drive away from the police, not drive to the police. Oh.
Yeah, or does it on purpose. Like, ha ha, it's funny. They told me drive to the police, so I'm driving while I play police. Ha ha.
That's like, Carrie, we're on the run from the law. You're ruining it.
So Stephanie comes to Deandra and Cam's room, and they're like, lock the door behind you. Lock it. And Cameron goes, yeah, that's how I was able to stay in here last night. I'm like, Cameron is still so traumatized by the salsa, rightly so, that she knows to lock her damn door now.
If you thought the salsa was bad, wait till we tell you about the plexiglass. I love the scandals on this show are about salsa and plexiglass.
It's so serious,
like,
too, right?
Beverly Hills like, about, like, family alcoholism.
Yeah. So Stephanie's like, the plexiglass broken. And you know what? Brandy's feeling really, really bad about it. I don't care, Stephanie. Stop fucking sticking up for Brandy, okay? You're hurting your own brand. You're hurting your own brand for Brandy, okay?
Yeah. And Steph is nervous that they just can't book a place because Carrie's so destructive, which I get that. I think it's frustrating. But to be fair, the places that they've gone to have been like Beaver Liquors and that Wine by Wives place where they like made a wine in a vat behind a thermostat. So, you know.
Still. But Deandra's like, well, you know what? Because Stephanie says they have to hold her accountable. And Deandra's like, okay, well, fine. But I can't be the only one because I'm always an asshole calling her out. I mean, everyone needs to say something to me. I mean, she throws a girl who can't swim into the pool. She's pushing shots on people. You know, she fought with me, which I know you're on my side now because no one's saying anything bad about it. So I'm marking that down as you're on my side. And it's constant bullshit. It's constant bullshit, mother. And she's like,
why are you aiming a gun at us, Deandra?
On the floor, get your nose on the ground.
And so then Deandra congratulates herself. This is hilarious. She's like, you know, a few years ago, I would have been out of here. But now, because I see a shaman, you know what I do now? I'm willing to take an extra step for my friend. I'm like, it was like 5 episodes ago when you nearly stormed out of Austin. What are you talking about 5 years ago? You would have like stormed out of here. You're ready to do it like 5 seconds ago.
God, the girl burns a couple of M&Ms and she expects to get a cross to be crucified on, you know? So Cameron's like, yeah, I think it's time.
I love that that's actually something that happened. She did burn some M&Ms.
Yeah.
Go on.
She literally started some M&Ms on fire.
She literally
and like, now yeah, she's Jesus Christ. You know? So Cameron's like, yeah, it's time. So then breakfast is being set up and there's a big sign that says, let's get physical because we're going to continue this 80s thing. So they've all got like 80s workout, leotards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like sitting down for breakfast and Cameron just starts to eat and then she's like, oh, you want to pray? Okay. Which is funny because I feel like Deandra does not. Have we ever seen her do grace before? Or is this suddenly like she's just trying to prove to Brandy that she's still Christian? So she's like, mother, bring our husbands here safely. The husbands that we actually do have. We have husbands, right? And give us a good day together. Bless this food and Jesus' food. Amen.
Or I will fuck you up. You know, that's how like her real prayer ends.
Jesus, please help Carrie to not break any plexiglass or burn down this historical landmark tonight. And please be sure that we are all going to be safe from her reign of terror and salsa tonight. Thank you.
And I like how Cameron reacts. She goes, oh, okay, I'll pray with you.
And Stephanie got her first ever chicken and waffles. Did you hear that? She's like, she said she'd never had chicken and waffles before.
Well, yeah. So, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to say about brand. It. I did notice it, and I was like, wow. So, but their food on this show, all they ever eat is a steak and a potato or a hamburger. That's like all they'll have. Or if you're Cameron, you'll get some Peschetti too. Okay.
Or really Mexican food. We love Mexican food so much that we just kept going back to Mexico.
My daughter is learning Spanish. So poquito más misero upon flauta face. Okay.
La bibliografa es un taco.
Necesitas un menú. Okay.
So, Tiffany is struggling at the table because she got no sleep last night. And then Carrie is texting with Eduardo, who he texts and says that he woke up and he feels horrible this morning. And she's like, is it just allergies or are you sick? And he's like, I took my temperature 4 times and I can't make it today. Sorry. Bye. See you never. So he's basically not coming, which is like the least shocking development since he's been totally MIA this entire season.
Yeah, he hasn't wanted to be there. And I don't really blame him, you know? I mean, she didn't do it this season, but her previous season was spent going, oh, Eduardo, you know, we don't really like each other, but I can't leave him because I won't get any money. So maybe he'll give me some money. Will you give me some money? And he's like, no. And she's like, oh, God. Like, she makes him look like a total idiot. Well, and so this year he's just not going to come. So have fun with that. Nope. Okay.
Nope. Yeah. This, the whole reason why she's on the show is to get her out of his hair. So there's no reason for him to go on the show anymore because he doesn't want to be around her.
Yeah.
So, Carrie tells us that, like, you know, that he's just been so busy and it's been really tough on their marriage. And we haven't had any quality time that we so desperately needed to have to connect with each other. I'm like, again, because I think he doesn't like you. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but based on the empirical evidence on the TV show, I don't think he likes you anymore.
Yeah, you actually called it last week, Carrie, for yourself. And he said, you know what? I don't think my husband likes me.
Yeah.
Called it.
Yep, called it.
Yeah, so then she is trying to be dramatic. Like, she's having this scene away from everybody, but where they could see her, right? And so she's trying to look sad, but no one is paying attention to her. And then she hangs up the phone and still nobody's looking at her. So she yells, oh, I can't believe it. I want to cry. And nobody pays attention to her. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice it, but that's amazing.
Nobody even turned around or gave her any attention.
So then she sits at the table and she's the only one who's actually changed into the jazzercise outfit. And she's like, ah, well, come on. We all need to match, girls. We all need to match. And they all just stare at her like, who wants to be the first to address the plexiglass?
Right, because Brandy has just come out. Right before she came out, Brandy came out and was like, you know, we did say sorry. We called them. And Stephanie goes, yeah, but, you know, like, the difference is, like, you never disrespect property. So, like, this was, like, a first-time offense for you. And Cameron's like, yeah, you never break anything. And Brandy says, oh, well, I didn't break anything. Like, let's be honest about that. It wasn't me who broke it. Which,
yeah,
of course, immediately throws Carrie into the... I mean, Carrie did break it, but Brandy started it.
Yeah, exactly. And Cameron's basically like, do you feel that's okay to do? And she's like, of course not! But we didn't mean to do that. And of course, I feel horrible. I feel horrible. Which is what Carrie says all season long about every single thing that she does.
After saying that what she did wasn't that bad. Like, that's how she starts, you know? She's like, I'm not sorry for this, and this is why. But then they keep on her, and so she goes, but I said I'm sorry! I said I'm sorry, okay? So Stephanie's like, well, you know, it's just like, it's like a sacred place for them. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like like a McDonald's is for Deandra. Or, you know, like a donut time is for Deandra. I'm thinking of a lot of Deandra's sacred places, but still, it was sacred.
Like a financial planner is. No, not for Deandra, that one.
And Deandra's like, okay, you know what? This is a museum. You can't just be destroying people's property over and over and over again. Last time, it was a salsa on the bed, okay? You know, if we had ripped your house apart, you would have gone ballistic over that. You would have gone ballistic. Speaking of ballistics, get down on the floor, okay? Put your nose on the ground.
I said I was sorry. And Cameron goes, were you sorry about the salsa? Because honestly, what's next?
What's next, though? What's what is next? And Carrie
first
goes,
it starts
oh.
at salsa? Then yeah, it goes to tartar sauce?
Okay, fine. I'm sorry, okay? And then
salsa is a gateway crime. We all know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Next thing, Carrie, you know, she's in a gang. You know, like we all see what's going on.
You know what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dandra's like, Carrie, it's a pattern. Okay. You know, day one, you put her in the pool. She can't even swim. And Carrie goes, okay. Well, you know what? Then maybe I won't drink again because everybody says this because I'm drinking. So then fine. I won't drink again. I don't need to drink to have fun.
Yeah. Which I think she's expecting everyone to be like, Carrie, no, we want you to drink. But everyone's like, great idea.
They're like, would you say that on this video? Okay, I'm getting evidence of you promising.
So Deandra's like, when you drink, you misbehave. And
well, last night was completely, it was completely like an accident.
I was like, it was an accident while you were like doing a very avoidable deed, you know?
Right.
So, and then Tiffany's like, well, I don't understand why we're not being hard on Brandy also, which is true, but I think.
Because Brandy just says, you know, I'm sorry it was so wrong. I called the lady, whatever, you know, and Carrie is a repeat offender and she doesn't really ever say sorry. Like later in the episode, she's like, what's the big deal? It was salt on the sheets and I washed it, you know? So
yeah, she has no remorse over anything.
Yeah, never. So Stephanie's like, well, like if you guys feel like I did stuff that was like out of character, I don't know, like. Peyton office or, you know, try to work or, you know, stuff like that. I would hope that you'd be like, oh my God, she's in trouble, you know, and maybe like try to help me, you know, like what if I made it through like a whole dinner and I didn't fart?
No, don't do that. You should fart. You should fart if you want to. I love you.
I love you. Love you so much.
So Cameron's like, Curie, we wouldn't say anything unless we saw a pattern, which is ironic. Because the pattern was actually covered with salsa. I mean, what's next? And now Carrie's like, why is everyone attacking me right now? You know what? And then she pulls, I hate this. I hate when people try to like divert from the real issue with this bullshit. If my friends want to talk to me because they care about me, then you need to talk to me one-on-one. I feel like it's a gang up. That's not what friends do. I'm like,
oh, yeah, like you do.
The queen
like you
of
talk
the,
to everybody
one-on-one.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Like, yeah, like we saw that episode in that empty wine barn. We know, like, you are don't act like you are like all about like a single, you know, private moment.
Yeah, when they show the Carrie clip of like all the things Carrie has done this season, every single one of those was a public call out. Like every single one.
Every single one.
So Tiffany's like, well, what I think they're trying to say is that, like, with you, it, like, goes to another level, and it just gets, like, mean. And Carrie goes, I'm never mean. Never. Never mean. Nope. And Tiffany goes, so, salsa was mean. That was mean.
And it was scary. I mean, what's next after salsa? Mustard? I mean, it's scary.
So, and she's like, well, you don't think you were mean to Charles? And she's,
I mean, I apologize. I was disrespectful and I explained myself like 10,000 times, which again, like not very remorseful, right?
So she again is like saying, I don't need alcohol to have fun. I'm not going to drink tonight. And then we see a montage of Carrie just apologizing a million times over the course of the season.
With
which
her
shows
fake
that this
tears. Yeah. Fake. You know, because she's learned that. So then, Brandy, Dandra's not buying it, of course. And Brandy's like, listen, don't beat yourself up. I mean, tonight I want you to have the best time. Don't punish yourself because trust me, I've done that. You know, I've really, really hurt myself when I shouldn't be hurting myself. It's like, okay, Brandy, this isn't about you. Okay, for Christ's sake, you just threw the woman under the bus as she was not at the table. And now you're trying to make it about your own damn self, which you weren't the victim in either.
Yeah, but the best part is that when Brandy's trying to prop up Carrie, she goes, listen, tonight I want you to have the best time. Eduardo's going to be there. All the spouses are going to be there. And that includes Eduardo because he's the spouse. So just reiterating, Eduardo will be there tonight.
So then they get ready for Jazzercise and Carrie's all bummed because she just got told off in the sweetest way. Actually,
in a very supportive, nice way, yeah, except like for Deandra, maybe.
for what we're not used to on Housewives at all. Like, the sweetest way ever, right? So then Dandra goes, and she's, like, knocking on Carrie's door. She's like a Dandra knock. Like, knock, 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 knock.
Like, you better help it up in there. I'm fully loaded. You better open up. This gun is ready to fire.
So she's knocking, and Carrie's like, I need some time, Dandra.
She's like, what? I'm knocking. I can't hear you. My knock's very, very loud.
I need some time.
What? Speak louder. Knock, 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 knock.
I need some patience and time to do it, to do it, to do it right.
So Deandra's like, well, listen, I'm sorry if my delivery was not the best, okay? But I'm very worried about you. I'm worried about you. I'm worried that you're going through something.
Please put that gun down from my temple. Please, please. I swear I'll do anything.
And she goes, look, I'm sorry my delivery isn't the best, but you know what? I'm worried about you because your behavior. Like, there's got to be something going on, Carrie.
And she's like, oh, really? Because you were like that last year. And Deandra's like, oh, well, I didn't destroy stuff. And then we see Deandra's drunken year, you know, her falling down as Mama D wasted at the finale party and everything else. And Carrie's like, but I didn't destroy stuff. I put salts on sheets and I washed them, okay? Like, you probably destroyed that fucking mattress. Destroyed. Yes, you did destroy stuff. And the washing machine that now has a gallon. It wasn't just like a little salsa. I mean, it was like a gallon jug of salt. I don't know. I hate getting
you
mad
also
about
wasted
shit
salsa,
like this.
Too, by the way. So Deandra's, she's like,
listen, I just want the best for you, and I want to get to the bottom of this, mother. Okay, so I want to know why you're so upset. Like, that is, no, I want to get the bottom. That's the mark of a good friend. Me wanting to find out why she's upset. I'm a good friend, Shaman. Aren't I? I'm a good friend.
And Carrie's like, oh, I get it. Okay, she's not going to leave me alone, so I'll pretend to cry. Oh, it's been so hard with Eduardo and my kid having depression. It's so difficult. Oh, and my mom. Did I mention I had to raise myself? Oh,
and coronavirus. Yes, yes, coronavirus. That hoax. So hard to laugh when no one else is laughing about it.
And Dandra's like, oh, just cry. It's been a long time coming. I know. Just let things out. Picture a blue M&M on fire. Do it.
So meanwhile, Tiffany found a little baby lizard. And the lizard's like, chill, which is weird because lizards are like, they just scamper. Like, that's what their life motto is. Like scamper. And she's
those
just,
kinds,
just like,
those kinds are chill because they're all over here. They're all over this area. And they just come in your house. I had one in my house and we were trying to catch it. But my niece was like, I want to get it. And then I would let her get it, but then she would freak out and start screaming and run away because, you know. So it ended up under the couch or something. And so a couple days later, the lizard was just sitting there, like just looking at me. Like, it was on the floor, but it was just like looking up at me. And so I got it, and it came on my hand and everything. And I was like, wow, this is like a little dog. Like,
yeah,
it's so sweet. And then I put it out on the welcome mat, you know, in front of the front door, and I closed the door, and then it just like looked back at me. like okay, that's it, buddy. That's
congratulations.
The extent of our relationship.
You just made a Liam Locken lizard. My mother left me on the welcome mat. I never got the love from my mother. I spent a whole day under that couch waiting for that love, and then I just got put out on a mat.
I should have kept him inside to get that fucking spider, by the way. Okay, so now where are we? So Carrie is
hair and makeup. They're just doing hair and makeup and stuff. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And the spouses are showing up because they skipped jazzercise entirely. So now all the husbands are showing up. And at one point Carrie comes down the stairs and Brandy's husband, Brian, Mr. Personality, walks in, you know, like, and she's like, oh, guess what? Eduardo isn't coming. He's sick. And Brian just goes, oh. I'm like, do you have any sense? It's a pandemic and Eduardo is sick. Are you going to even like be alarmed
Corona,
on some level?
Is it? Yeah.
Or if you're like, is he okay? Are you okay? And he's like,
Yeah. Great, Brian. Brian and Brandy, what a couple, right? So Brandy goes out to look at the food. And she starts getting herself like a little salad. And then she gets the dressing and she goes, I don't have any idea what this is. And the waiter goes, it's ranch. And she's like, oh.
Somewhere.
She's like, wow, what a worldly couple you two are.
Somewhere Katie from Vanderpump Rules is so angry.
Katie from Vanderpump Rules is like licking her TV. So let's see. Jeremy, is this where someone asks Deandra who she is, and she's like, I'm Sue Ellen. She was married to JR, and he was always cheating on her. I'm like, maybe pick a different one. Like, really? That's who you're gonna pick?
maybe not the best choice. So they're putting on their wigs and everything, and you know, oddly enough, I actually liked them dressed like 80s Dallas women. Somehow just like worked a little bit better for me. I was like, you guys should just lean into this. Just have big, big ass hair next season. That's what I really am tuning in for.
Yeah, those wigs. So then who comes? Daniel comes, and all the guys are cheersing downstairs and stuff. And Brian's like, what are they setting up here? And Travis goes, who cares? It's your money.
Brian's like, what? And then Tiffany and Daniel are like, Tiffany's putting on a blonde wig and Daniel's got a cowboy hat on. She's like, I feel like we're trying to look like we're white. And Daniel said, he's like, oh, I'm dressed as J.R. Ewing. And Tiffany's like, I'm the blonde girl. Lucy? Is that her name? Lucy?
And she tells the guys at the bar, she's like, yeah, Daniel wants to do it doggy style while I'm in this wig, but he told me not to turn around. Should I be offended? And he's like, yeah, because like, it's weird, like seeing that blonde hair and then her face. It's like,
yeah. So, and so then everyone's just like downstairs milling around. They do a group photo on the staircase, which is on everyone's Instagram. And then they're all around. And Brian goes, the good part about boots is that I don't feel so short around these ladies. And Court's like, welcome to my life.
So then we just see Deandra running down a hallway upstairs going, I peed my Spanx. I peed them. So then she goes into her clown squad and just lifts her dress and bends over and they blow dry her pee.
It was like a weird scene out of Amadeus or something. It was just, they're blow drying. They're just Deandra Deus. Is that what you said?
Vagideus.
Oh, Vagideus. Amapius. But yeah, they're just like gonna get that stuff caked on. I paid my spikes, and you're gonna dry it off, okay? And I want to hear another word about it, okay? On your knees, everyone.
Yeah, and Jeremy tells us, he's like, that is literally the worst habit you have, peeing on yourself. God, I love you so much. I've never loved you more. I mean, you're getting ready. Your 5 minutes turns into 10, which turns into 20, which turns into 70, which turns into Pretty Jessica Says I'm in the Back. Come at, where was I, honey?
So then there's a cheers, and then Brandy is like, hey, Stephanie, can I pull you aside? I just want to pull you aside for a second. Let's go over here. Okay, Stephanie, I got you a little gift.
Oh my God, what'd you get? Seriously,
it's just, you know, something that's like, it's just, nuts. It's really like, seriously, it's really important for you to know how much I love you.
Oh my God,
you don't
have
to get me anything. That's crazy. You got me your friendship. You got me your love because I love you. I love you.
I want a friendship.
Guess what? Open up the box. Guess what's in the box?
Is it a fart? It's a fart in the box. It's a fart. That's what I was hoping for.
It's a fart. And I came out looking like a friend. It smells really good. This fart will always bond us. I love farts too. I love you. You're my favorite fart.
You're my favorite person. Oh my God, this is sweet. This is the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me.
Oh my God. You're the nicest person I've ever done anything nice for.
You're like the nicest person who ever did something nice for me that I got happy about that was like even nicer after I was happy about it.
This was like the hardest year of my life. Like, yeah, I broke plexiglass.
Like, it was my hard year too because like I had a waffle and I had to eat a chicken. It was really
why
hard.
Why did you do that? Did you have any of that weird white sauce on it?
It was crazy.
They call it ranch, which is funny because we're at a ranch, but like, it doesn't look like a ranch, but it's a sauce. God.
Yeah, my mom used to put weeds in a blender and call it ranch because like we couldn't afford ranch. So
my mom put diapers in a blender and just called it diapers.
Love you.
Love you too.
I love you so much.
Okay, so they have their weird private moment. And then Stephanie tells us like they've been friends for so long, 14 years. And this was the hardest year ever, you guys. And that includes the year that they didn't speak, you know? She almost committed suicide, but she's grown from it and she's learning. And so they vow to be each other's forever best friend. And I was like, what a nice last scene for Brandy.
Right?
Bye now.
Bye. So then there's like some fun and games where they're like lassoing fake cows. And then there's like an armadillo racing scene. I love an armadillo. Ronnie, you know what story I'm going to tell next? by the time we went to St. Louis and saw a dead armadillo on the side of the road, who knew that armadillos were all over St. Louis? But
yeah,
these poor armadillos.
They're a big nuisance. They said they had to get grills on the front of their trucks because there were so many armadillos jumping up into the trucks.
Because armadillos are so mean. Like, I'd be like, there's a truck coming. Let me jump directly into its path. So, silly armadillos. Well, these armadillos had a good reason to be frightened. Not that a Mack truck isn't a good reason, but they were basically in a cage and all the women like grabbed them, and then they had to do some sort of race where they like, whose armadillo is going to run across the cage first, which I feel like that's a very low stakes race, you know?
Yeah. And Travis is like the most Travis at these parties, right? Because he's like, you know what? Jeremy's a butthole. Okay, that was his first line. And then this next one, he goes, hey, Jeremy, do you get a participation trophy? And Jeremy goes, hey, we're in Texas, bro. We don't do that here.
So Carrie once again announces that she's not drinking. Then I don't need to drink. I don't need to drink. I'm having so much fun. So much fun. I am glad she didn't drink because there was a baked potato bar. And you know that if she was drunk, she'd been throwing baked potatoes all around that party. She'd just throw them
in the pool and shit.
Ha ha! Take it, the armadillo.
Take it, Mr. Potato Head. Okay,
armadillo has small pee-pee. Sorry.
So sorry for snorting. So Carrie calls, FaceTimes Eduardo. You know, so Brandy's like, "Oh my God, did you tell him what we did last night?" Glad that you both think it's so hilarious. Okay, I'm spent. My outrage is gone. So Carrie's like, oh, you know, I haven't talked to him because he's been feeling sick. I'm like, well, that's probably when you should be talking to him the most. What kind of partner are you? Okay. Like, I haven't talked to him. He's probably got COVID. Who knows? He could be dead soon. Why would I call him? He's your husband.
So
Team Eduardo for life, by the way, if you can't tell. Team Eduardo.
Poor Eduardo. So although he made his choice,
he made his choice not to sign any goddamn papers.
Mm-hmm. So Cameron's like, Carrie's dealing with a lot right now. Her business is struggling a lot financially. Her daughter Olivia is going through a lot with depression. And I don't think Eduardo is supporting her with all this drama going on. And then she's just like nodding as she's saying it. And then she just is like, I don't know. She's like talking about Eduardo and she's like, poor thing. I just hope it's not COVID. Mm. There was just something like the way she was saying it, as if like, I hope he doesn't have a hangnail. Like, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah. Hope it's like, not COVID.
Yeah.
So then they're talking about the kids going back to school and stuff. And Court's like, I went to summer school at Winston because I was dyslexic. And Brandy's like, ooh, ew. Oh my God.
You're so wrong for that.
Sorry, I couldn't think of another dyslexic thing.
That's okay.
So she's like, you know what? I failed, which is actually really good because I would have been one grade above Brian, and then I wouldn't have dated him because we met in the eighth grade. And Cameron goes, such a love story.
Yeah, you failed out of one school, wound up in another, and now you guys have a loveless marriage. Love that. So, So Brandy is saying how Brian, she's like just going on about Brian and how he's just shown unconditional love this year. And again, you just see Brian sitting there in his like, in his midlife crisis black t-shirt, like,
yeah, he's like,
the armadillo's like, are you good? Are you okay?
The armadillos fly up in his face and take his pulse. Like, he's still with us, buddy.
The armadillos are like, well, we tried to fling ourselves into him, and we survived. So that really says something.
Yeah. And he's like, well, look at her. She puts up with me for so long. She's like, you put up with me. Please cut to the video of Brian in the bar making out with that lady. Please. It's time. You're missing your cue, people.
So then we see
Tiffany. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say the same thing, that Tiffany and Daniel are like hanging out with Jeremy, and Tiffany is like, she's done with her wig. She doesn't want to wear it anymore. And Daniel doesn't like it either. And Jeremy's like, oh, for 20 minutes, you'll like it. Deandra comes back from all these crazy costume parties. And I'm like, whoa, hey, you're hot. You're hot. God, I love having sex with my wife when she's dressed in costume. Looks like anyone but Deandra, right?
Totally. And Stephanie's like,
did you do it when she was in the Mama D wig?
And he's like, hell no, hell no. And Stephanie's like, you know what, Deandra? I will say that, like, when I first met you, you were, like, so much, you were, like, so different.
Like, I like you so much more now than I did then. Because, like, every year, like, I see a little bit more of you. And, like, every year, I like you, like, a little bit more. So.
It's like, is that supposed to sound like a compliment?
I know.
Thank you, Stephanie, so much. And on that note, everyone get down. Okay, I got a loaded gun here. Put all your money in the center. Put it in this Mama Day wig. And you will get out of here alive. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And then Jeremy and Deandra are together in the diary room. And he's like, you know, I just love my wife. I love that she's seen a shame. God, that's when I fell in love with you again. I just love that, Deandra. Like, this guy is so cheating on you. Like, not only a little bit, this guy's fucking half the town. I've never seen a smarmier fucking guy in my life. This guy is, he's probably getting a blowjob right now during this interview.
Well, he calls me a Christian in the morning and a witch at night.
So then
I fucked that witch. Fuck her good. God, yeah, that's when I fell in love with you, baby.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about defying gravity, right? Mm-hmm. So now we get the updates, which is, surprise, Deandra and her stepmother have not kept in touch, and her brother still refuses to have a sit-down with her, but she still sits down with her shaman twice a week and burns M&Ms and solves her soul.
She sits down with her yes man. So then Cameron's fascinating conversation. You see, Cameron doesn't have to do anything interesting, and I still love her. Cameron's talking to somebody. She goes, oh my God, this year, like, now I have my dream house, and I have to, like, find furniture for it. It's, like, so much, girl. Like, that was Cameron's drama for the whole season.
I love, you know, listen, I, you know what, like, people have their own things. Like, if you move, you gotta furnish your place. That's fine. But she's like, I'm going to be literally tested. My patience will be tested. I'm like, well, there's also a global pandemic, too. That might outrank that, you know. So the update is Cameron is ignoring Court's request to have less pink in the new house. She has pink paint ready for the kitchen, and even Fancy could not escape the pink paintbrush. And we see Fancy with, like, pink little paws.
Oh. So then they're complimenting Carrie, trying to make her feel good. They're like, oh my God, Carrie, you've never looked so good. I mean, you look like a bombshell. She's like, really? Oh, I don't look like I have a tiny pee-pee. They're like, no, Carrie, you look great.
Man, oh, I wanted them to...
Just starts them all on fire.
I wanted them to squirt salsa on her and be like, it's just salsa, right? Just salsa. So Carrie, her update is, oh no, it wasn't Carrie's update. It was Stephanie's update, which is because she had an amazing year. And Stephanie continues to give locker room makeovers to needy schools. And because of her poor attendance, Travis rented out her office and she's working at home. Like many Americans. I was like, oh, okay. It's like, sort of funny that they added that. Like many Americans. I was like, I felt like they were trying to shame me. I was like, mother, I am working at home like many Americans, mother.
Oh. And Jeremy's like, hey, I've got a cheers to all the guys. We've got beautiful women. Cheers, everybody. God,
now let's put them in wigs. Let's put them in wigs and fuck them like armadillos. Am I right, everyone?
Put them in pretty Jessica wigs and fuck them like it's 1999. I love that scene!
Jello shots! Carrie's renewed relationship with her mother is going strong. However, her marriage status remains complicated. She has not destroyed any properties since South Fork or pushed anyone in a pool.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to get a divorce. It looks like that's the announcement at the reunion. Guess time will tell. No one cares still. I have to tell you that. Okay, so then Deandra is talking to Tiffany, and Tiffany's talking about how much she loves being with the girls, and she's grown so much. And Deandra's like, I mean, you know, you've grown so much. I mean, look at you. And Daniel's like, yeah, she's grown a lot. She can really let loose now and have some fun. I mean, look at you. You look so much more relaxed to me. She's like, that's a bone talk.
As she pulls out a Excel spreadsheet to list all the reasons why she's fun now. Tiffany has been living her best life with her new schedule. She even took her girls camping and Bigfoot hunting in Oklahoma. But she did that only to show them what happens if you don't get into Cornell. And she also, her and her mother, you turn into Bigfoot, which is Leanne Locken saying that. Her and her mother are taking baby steps to a better relationship.
And then Brandy gives a speech, and she's like, howdy, y'all. I just want to thank you. This has been the most difficult year of my life. Okay, great. So we get to end the season with Brandy being the biggest fucking victim. As usual, over it, get her out of here.
But to celebrate, I would like to show you one of my favorite dances, the worm. Hold on 1 second. Let me just get down here on my stomach. And here we go. Here's how to do the worm. You just sort of thrust your stomach into the ground and rise up. And again, it's fun. Let's do the worm now.
Now we're going to play a little game called pin the tail into my stomach. Okay. So there's some tails with some nails in them. Just come by here, and whoever gets me right in the middle of the stomach wins a piece of candy.
Who wants to belly flop into the pool? Anyone? Here I go. So after filming, Brandy learned she was 16 weeks pregnant during a routine doctor's visit. And by the way, when they do these updates, they always freeze the frame, right? So they froze the frame with Brandy holding her drink up. She has her drink up to be like, cheers. It's like, Brandy was 16 weeks pregnant.
Yes, and she's kissing Brian at the same time. She's like holding it, and then shows them kiss, and then it's black and white, and it goes,
well, yeah, because she's holding it, and they give the update, which is that she was pregnant, and then she gave birth. She gave birth to her daughter, Breelyn, and then a month later, she mourned the death of her dog, Sugar. I was like, well, why don't we just end it in a celebratory place? But then after that,
it's Brandy, they have to end it with something bad every single time.
Yeah, but then after that, then it comes back into full motion and Brian goes in for that kiss. It's like, boom! I was like, wait, what?
Black and white. Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, and then black and white. And that was the end of Real Housewives of Dallas. So then we see clips from the reunion where Carrie apparently got Corona or COVID or whatever, and Brandy was sitting right next to her on the plane. So Carrie, I think, has it. So she has to do it from the hotel, and Brandy has to do it from the hotel too. But they're both on these TV screens fit into chairs, and Brandy's in the dark. Like, she has no ring light or anything. Just put one of those kind of sad ponytails on top of her head, and her head's all pulled back, and she just looks like this.
And she's got a low angle. It's like she's never done a Zoom before. Like, girl, don't you know how to make yourself look pretty for Zoom at this point?
Because
Carrie has decent lighting considering, but
face the window at least. Yeah. Oh
my God, yeah, it's pretty amazing. It looks like it'll be a good reunion. I'm excited for it. And this is just fun. I guess I just like this show because I think that we just always find so much stuff to laugh about, and that makes it a lot more fun for us. So
that's all that matters to us.
Yep. We hope that you guys also find things to laugh about, and stay safe. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then we also have Summer House this week. So it's a big, big week. And don't forget to go to onlocationlive.com/watchforcrappins. Come join us for Roni. And that's about it, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, she's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.